And we're going to be dealing with some of these things in the Sunday evening fellowship time that we have, our Bible study Sunday night at 6 o'clock. So there's something for everyone. I trust you'll be able to be a part of it. We are going to wait on you for the morning tithes and offerings at this time. And we have something very special. Jen has put together something, a video, right? And we're going to show the video during this offertory. It's a little bit different, okay? Recently, our kids went off to kids camp and youth camp. And so what Jen did, she took some pictures and video, and she's kind of put it all together. So you're going to have some shots, I guess, of the kids camp and some of the youth camp. And she's going to come afterwards and say a few things about this. And I think we might even have some of the youth share, too. So that's what we're going to have for our offertory time. But let's look to the Lord. We're in a prayer. Brother Roger, would you ask God's blessing on the offering? Amen. The Lord bless you as you give, and we'll run the video now.
We'll be right back.
Okay. I'll tell you, youth camp's a great time, and kids camp too. And, you know, I just trust if your kids didn't get to go this year, next year make sure they go to camp. And it's, you know, it makes a difference what kind of camp you go to, because they have lots of fun. But our youth camps that are run by the district, they emphasize the importance of having a relationship with Christ. And the services are wonderful. Yeah, when the kids get together and they begin to worship God, it's just a wonderful experience to see these kids. I'll tell you what, I'd rather see something like that, see our kids plugged into something like this, than some of the other scenes we see on TV, where all that's going on and all the problems that are throughout the world with youth. Thank God we have some dedicated teens and young people. And Jen, why don't you come on up here? You can give a little report on it, and then I think she might have one or two of the kids speak also. Just a minute, I'm going to get you a microphone. There we go.
Hello. All right. The pictures in the video honestly could not do justice to the 2 weeks that we had at kids camp and youth camp. I can't even begin to describe to you how amazing both weeks were in different ways. And, you know, you saw all the fun that we had, all the kids and all the teenagers. We had crazy amounts of fun, as you saw, and all the water games and all the different activities that they were able to participate in. But also the evening services. Between both the kids and the teen camp, the Holy Spirit moved like nobody's business. I can't even begin to describe to you, especially at youth camp Tuesday night. I honestly could just stand there and I was just bawling, just seeing hundreds of teenagers just crying out to God for something more than themselves. And like, I could just sit there and just watch. I couldn't do anything else other than just watch. And at kids camp, to see 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit, praying for their friends that they had just met, I really honestly don't have words. And at teen camp, I'm hoping that these guys will come up. If you guys want to come up, they have some things to share that happened throughout the week. And I don't know if Alana wants to come up or, but we had 5 kids go to kids camp this year, 10 kids go to teen camp. So we had 15 kids able to go. And I can't thank you enough for all the people who were able to donate some of their money, for our kind of secret fundraiser that we've been doing. If you've participated in it, you know what it is. If you haven't, you'll find out. So, but I'll give it over to these guys.
Well, on like the first and like the whole week was amazing. The worship, I loved the worship. It was so crazy that the floor was shaking when everyone was jumping, and it was so amazing because we felt the Holy Spirit move through. Like, it was so cool. Thank you for sending me for all who helped. And yeah, it was awesome. There was so many healings. People who were deaf, they could hear. It was amazing.
Hi. It was amazing, like, you know, seeing all the kids and stuff. To be honest, I thought going into youth camp was going to be like another youth convention experience, you know, just going up at the altar, crying, then, you know, saying I received the Holy Spirit and just coming home and doing nothing, basically. But the thing was, I wasn't expecting a lot to happen, but seeing, like, you know, the kids there, and after that healing service, it was like amazing. Like, you know, like he was talking, you know, how you have a dead body on you, and, you know, that was like all the burden that was like on me was like all off. It was like amazing. Here you go.
Okay, yeah, it was amazing. I learned that you have to expect God to come before he even comes, and that he will come, and that he will do amazing things, and that the theme was civil war and the war within, and there's some Indians running around, so yeah. It's cool.
Like, see, the thing was, we weren't expecting a lot, but going into it, it was like, I don't know. After that healing service, I was like, wow. Like, you know, I actually believed, you know. So, yeah. Even if, like, our group didn't win first place. Yeah. Second place, but you know, it was still amazing. And next year, like, we hope to get like more people to go. So.
Go team two.
Or three. Third brigade. As you guys heard from these guys, absolutely incredible. Amazing is the word to describe it. We had one night, they kept mentioning healing service, and it, like, I don't even know how to describe that. There were people just going up that had like minor things, just from headaches to neck aches to knee pain to broken bones, that they were deaf, they were starting to go blind. There was one girl who actually worked at the retreat center who had a floating rib in her side and her tailbone was broke. God instantly healed her. There was a girl who was deaf and she was able to hear. There was a girl, because of family situations, couldn't show emotion and she was just bawling. And just like things like that, just absolutely crazy. Just to be able to see not only, you know, the speaker and the leaders praying for teenagers and God healing them, but seeing teenagers praying for teenagers and people getting healed. Not only physically, but emotionally and mentally. And just kind of, it's like we always joke about it a little bit, but having like a Holy Spirit bomb went off. And, you know, you see like bodies all over the floor. And it's a good thing, because they're experiencing God and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And like I said, I can't thank you enough for being able to send not only these guys, but some of our kids and our teens. And they came back and they're excited, they're thirsty, and they're expecting. And we're expecting to see changes in our church, in our community, in our towns, in our family, and we're ready to go. So talk to these guys, talk to the kids. Incredible. If you have any questions, we're definitely would be happy to answer them. And you know, we love God and we love everything that he's doing, and so thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I wanted you to hear from them, because God wants to work in the lives of youth, I believe. God wants to do something special. And we, for a long time, have been praying for the youth of this community. Every year we hear of tragic accounts of things that happen. And most of them could have been prevented had the gospel reached the lives of some of these teens. And we have resources here in this church. I see our young people as resources that God wants to use. God wants to touch earth in a powerful way, and he wants to touch our community in a powerful way. And the way he does it is through others. You're the vehicle God uses. You're the instrument. You're the one that takes the gospel. You're the one that touches the life of somebody else. And they see Jesus in you. And that's how people come to Christ. Sometimes you think it has to be just a one personality. No. Most people come to the Lord through the influence of a friend or a relative that leads them, either brings them to a church or explains the message of salvation and leads them in a sinner's prayer. You are the one that God wants to use. I was impressed with that. And the little ones, we're going to let the little ones right now go to their children's church. I want everyone else to hold steady here. I'm going to share just a few things right now. So the little ones, the older kids, stay in here with us today. The Lord has been speaking to many hearts about where we are today in terms of eternity. Where is the church? What's going on? And it's interesting, recently, being away for a couple of weeks, and people that I talked to, I was asked my opinion on a couple of things. In fact, one individual made it a point to make an appointment to see me, just because of some questions that he had concerning where we are today, where the world is, what's going to happen, what should we do. He was concerned about that. He says, you know, I, He said, I plan for my family when we take a trip. He says, I plan it all out. I make sure everything's in order, and I try to make sure there's not a lot of surprises so that everything works out fine. He says, you know, I feel the same way as we're heading towards eternity. I want to know where we are. I want to know what's going on out there. I want to know what my response should be. I want to know what I should be doing. And he says, and I want you to let me know what you know. And so I shared with this individual for a couple hours, just answering questions he had about the end times and about the unfolding. And there's different ideas on that people have on some of these things. But you know, there are some basic truths that we can all agree on. And I was drawn to a passage. I'm just going to, maybe I'll do that. I wasn't sure if I would read this, but I'm going to do it anyway. So you turn to your Bibles, Mark, the 13th chapter. And I'm just going to read the 13th chapter. I want you to, again, take a look at something that's very important, because I think it addresses some issues that we are going to face and some things that we are going to see happening in the very near future. And in Mark's Gospel, in the 13th chapter, I'm just going to read through this chapter. If you have your Bibles, you can read along. It's a prophetic passage. It's what we call also an eschatological passage. Eschatology having to do with the study of the end times, the last things. And it's interesting, you know, that a lot of people have questions. There's uncertainty. You need to understand this, that God is in control. And that God has a plan. And that God had some things that were at the beginning that he was going to accomplish. But God also has some things at the end he's going to accomplish. And we are that generation that is right on the threshold of those end time things that God wants to accomplish. If that's true, then you need to know what God's word says about it. I need to know what God's word says about that. And if there's something that I ought to be doing that I'm not doing, then I better get busy, start doing it. If we're really at that point in time. But let me just read for you what it says in Mark's Gospel, because Jesus addresses some of these questions that his inner circle has, his inner circle friends, his disciples. They came to him, and much of this was spoken in private. It was just a few of them. And he was revealing these things. And in Mark chapter 13, it says, and as he was going out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, Teacher, behold, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings. And Jesus said to him, do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another which will not be torn down. And by the way, that was fulfilled. That was fulfilled, first century. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew were questioning him privately. Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled? And Jesus began to say to them, see to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will mislead many. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be frightened. Those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will also be famines. These things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you up to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. And when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not be anxious beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all on account of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him who is on the housetop not go down or enter in to get anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are with child and to those who nurse babes in those days. But pray that it may not happen in the winter. For those days will be a time of tribulation such as not occurred since the beginning of the creation which God created until now and never shall. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened the days. And then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or behold, he is there, do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order, if possible, to lead the elect astray. But take heed, behold, I have told you everything in advance. Let me just pause here for a moment. You can begin to see some of the things that are prophesied here. Can you begin to see things like this shaping up in our world today? And the warnings that Christ is giving to his disciples about the end times. Not to be misled, not to be led astray. Beware the false Christ and false prophets that are going to rise and lead many astray. We need to be aware of some of these things in this day. Jesus said this is what we need to be on the lookout for. Let's move on with verse 24. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he shall send forth his angels and will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest end of heaven. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that the summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is. It is like a man away on a journey who, upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, at cock crowing, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. I was reading through that passage, and the thing I was struck with was that phrase, be on the alert. I believe that was a word to those early followers of Christ, and I believe that is the word of the Lord for the church today. Be on the alert. We have too many people who want to see things just go on just as they are and not change. And when disruptions happen, they get all upset. And some would even blame God, say, God, why are you doing this to me? Or why are you allowing this to happen? And they don't realize that there is a process that is taking place. God has ordained it. It's going to happen. We're in the middle of it all. And our job as Christians is to be on the alert. That's one of the things. Be on the alert. I was thinking about this, this being Communion Sunday, and we remember what Christ did. Because the question then comes up, and it's been asked to me, as I mentioned, you know, what is the purpose for the church in these last days? Someone said to me recently, you know, they heard a sermon, and the person preaching the sermon said, well, you know, Jesus might come soon, but it might be another 1,000 years. I guess that could happen. But the purpose of signs is to alert. It's to give you an idea of where you are. Signs aren't just there to be observed and without any meaning attached to it. Scripturally, prophetically, eschatologically, there are signs in the Word of God to warn us. You say, well, could Christ come in 1,000 years? I guess that's within the realm of possibility. But how about practically? Do you really think that's going to happen? Well, let's look at the signs. Are some of these things happening? Is there distress of nations? Are there wars and rumors of wars? Are there earthquakes beginning to break out all over the world? Are families breaking up? Are families pitting one against the other? Are children rising up against parents? Are these things happening? Jesus said, when you begin to see things happening like this, these are signs of the end times. Don't turn away and just think, well, I guess, well, that's interesting, but I don't know how it affects me. Listen, folks, God has been speaking to the church in many ways, and I believe in these days, God is going to speak to us through his prophetic word that he has written. And it's for our profit. I want to just point out a few things. We're going to go to the table of the Lord in a few minutes, and we're going to have communion together. But before I do, I want to remind you of a few things. It says it in Mark about the preaching of the gospel throughout the world, and then the end shall come. You find that also over in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. Now, the opposition we know is great. There are many attempts to try to thwart what God is doing. There are attempts to rid society of the word of God. We know the opposition is there. But the gospel is a witness. It said this gospel shall be a witness. How is it a witness? It reminds us that regardless of what some say, there are certain absolutes that exist. Humanists would tell you, listen, there are no real absolutes. What's right and what is wrong is to be determined by the situation at that time. And God's word says, wait a minute, there are absolutes. There is a morality that exists, that has been established by God in heaven, and that is applicable to all mankind. And we are held accountable to that law, that moral code. These are absolutes. The Ten Commandments are not the 10 suggestions. God gave us the 10 commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. When God says, thou shalt not, guess what God means? Thou shalt not. Don't do it. Don't do it. Pretty simple. And yet we have humanists that are trying to reinterpret things for us. Well, you've got to understand the time. Well, you've got to understand that we have progressed to a point where that's not necessary. Well, we have this all around us. The Bible is not theory. It reveals reality. It really reveals the things, way things really are. Psalm 96:3 says this of the glory of the Lord among the nations. It talks about his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. God wants his people to actively participate in this worldwide propagation of his divine plan. And we're told to go and make disciples later in Matthew. It's that final command that we have in the 28th chapter of Matthew, that we are to be a part of what God is doing. We are a part of God's plan for the earth. In the midst of all the opposition, the outcome is certain, and that's the good news, that the gospel is going to be preached. No matter how many there are that try to thwart that, the gospel is going to be preached. That's the good news. It is going to go to the far ends of the earth. And people that have never heard, people that never had any hope, the light is going to shine in darkness. And wherever the light shines in darkness, there's an attraction. People are attracted to that. They're drawn to that light, the light of the gospel. It's going to go forth. Having a missionary here, couple weeks ago, as we do periodically here. We support missionaries. Why? Because our missionaries are taking the light of the gospel to the four ends of the earth. They're going to places where you and I may never go. Just recently, one of our missionaries that we've supported for years has retired, come off the field, a young lady, single. And she went years ago to a nation of people that she didn't know an awful lot about and spent most of her life in ministry there alone. Ministry there. And has established works, Christian works over the years, and God has blessed her ministry, and now, later in life, she's now retiring, coming off the field. Some would say, what a waste. Why didn't she just stay at home, get married, raise a family? You know, the American thing to do here. Why do that? Because God put a call in her heart, and she went. She did what the Master called her to do. She was part of the plan, you see, to get the gospel out there into places where it has never been heard before, reaching people who desperately need help. They need hope. My prayer is that this church will raise up. Who knows? Maybe some in the youth group. That's what happens, you know. The youth go off sometimes to camp, and God calls them to ministry. Sometimes God calls them into mission work. Sometimes just to the regular ministries of the church. God calls to our young people and calls to our youth, and they go off and they prepare. And then they go and they minister. Why? Because God uses people as tools to reach the nations of the earth. In the midst of all this opposition, we know that the outcome is certain. It says in Isaiah, the second chapter, second verse, now it will come about in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. Isn't that a thrilling thing? The mountain of the Lord is going to be raised up. All of the nations. And we know where the focus of the world is, don't we? We know that little piece of real estate over the Mideast. Everybody wants a piece. It's so small. Everybody wants a piece of that. Why? Because it's God's place. God has anointed it. God has made it sacred. And God will be exalted in that place one day. It's coming, my friend. The mount of the Lord is going to be exalted. And it says the people of the earth are going to stream to it. It's coming. There's a reason why Jerusalem and the land of Israel is so important to the international community. And God has chosen this place as the center of his righteous reign. The promise to Abraham will be fulfilled. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship before thee. Psalm 22, 27. Psalm 86, 9. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and they shall glorify thy name. That's the good news, friend. In the midst of all of the anxiety and the uncertainty that people are feeling today, the good news is that God has a plan, and it's right on schedule, and that there's coming a day when all of the nations and all people of the earth are going to acknowledge God is Lord over all. Regardless of what they say now, regardless of the opposition, some think that you're crazy for believing the way you do. Some people think you're wasting your time when you come to the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. Some believe that you're missing out on life because of the lifestyle of holiness that you've chosen to lead instead of going along with the crowd. I'm here to tell you this morning you're doing what God wants you to do when you live that way, when you live for the Lord. It's part of his plan. You're going to fit right in. The kingdom of God is being established. The mount of the Lord will be exalted. And there will be millions upon millions that will stream to that place. And it says that all nations will be blessed. The events that we're experiencing point to the soon return of Christ. Daniel, the 7th chapter in verse 14, says this, and to him, speaking of Christ, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Have no fear about it. The kingdom of the Lord is not going to be overrun and overtaken by anyone else. Some have been so foolish as to say, well, how do you know God is going to win out in the end? How do you know the devil won't win out in the end? Such foolishness that the creation will rise up and overcome the Creator. And yet some people, they're in a quandary about this. How do you know that that's the right side? The word of the Lord is our standard. And the word of the Lord declares, and we stand upon it, that there is coming a day when His kingdom shall remain, and all peoples, nations, and men of every language will serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. So what should we do? I mentioned before, I think the watchword for the church is be on the alert. I think that's one of the key things. We need to be on the alert. But of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed and keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is. And so we want to be on the alert. God calls us to service. God calls us to be on the alert. And I think also we're reminded, we see this in John's Gospel, the 4th chapter, in verse 34 and 5. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that they are white for harvest." Jesus said that His will was to accomplish His work. So I believe that God not only calls us for service, and God calls us to be on the alert, but I believe God is calling us to accomplish His work. Get it done. Get it done. It's one thing to know what to do. It's another thing to do it. Reminds me of that little phrase you see on t-shirts. Just do it. I think Christians need to be reminded of that from time to time. It's not that we don't know what we ought to be doing. We need to just do it. Get out there and begin doing it. It says go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Teach people. Reach them with the love of Christ. Then we have all the commands with regard to how we're to treat our neighbor. How we're to befriend people. How we're to minister to them and to their needs. All of these things. It's very simple. It's very clear. What's the problem? Just do it. Just do it. Don't be intimidated by the enemy. Don't let Satan rob from you what God has placed in your life. God has an investment in your life. Say, how's that? You know what that investment is? It's the cross. See it up there in the wall? The banner? Souls. Souls. That's what it's all about. Souls. God has invested the life of His Son in us that we might be instruments of salvation to this world. God uses us to bring the gospel to people who desperately need to know what to do. And if they don't hear, and if we don't go, there will be millions in hell one day because we were negligent in our responsibility. What a tragedy. The reason why we even have a missions program in the Assemblies of God is because years ago, when the gospel was preached in our churches around this nation, people would go to the altar and then God would impress upon them the need and they'd begin to weep. And oftentimes when you're reading the reports of those in those early days, they would begin to labor for soul. They say, you know, all of a sudden, an overwhelming sense of the losses of people. And I felt the darkness. And I felt the blackness in my own soul of lost individuals. And so I could do nothing but cry out to God. Oh, God, use me to help those people. How long has it been since you've had a burning in your soul? How long has it been since you've had a cry out to God like that? How long has it been since your heart was touched? That God would shake you out of your lethargy and indifference to a place where you would say, I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to be on the alert and I'm going to accomplish what God has called me to do. God has destined me
for greatness in his kingdom. I'm going to be an emissary of the Lord. I'm going to take the gospel and I'm going to go. Many of those early missionaries, they left, and all they left was with one suitcase and the suit that we were wearing, the clothes they were wearing, and they got on a, some of them got on a plane, some of them, most of them went on boats back in the early days. Flight was not like it is today. And it would take them several weeks to get to the land of their calling. And they would get off the boat. They didn't really know anybody there. They just knew that God called them. They knew they had a church back home that was praying for them. It was going to send them some support from time to time. But they had no guarantees. And they went on faith and faith alone. And they believed that God was in it. And many of them labored for years. Some of them are forgotten to the church. Forgotten to us. But known only to God. But they left a legacy behind them. And the work of the Lord was established in some of these distant places. It's amazing where you go in the world and all of a sudden you come across a believer where you thought, oh, how is this? It's because some early pioneer caught the fire of God. And they purposed in their heart they were going to accomplish what God had called them to do. And they would not be satisfied until they did it. And so they took the charge. And they said, yes, Lord, I will go. And they went on faith. And God anointed and blessed them. God doesn't call all of us that way to go to distant lands. But some of us he does call. And then God uses some of us here in the States to help them and to support them. And that's why we support missionaries and ministers around the world. That's why we send teams. Maps teams and construction teams around. We do it because we feel the urgency of the hour. This September, we're going to send a maps construction team from this church, 7 individuals. We're going to respond to a request from a missionary who's been asking for help for some time. And we have the men and the manpower that can accomplish the work he has need of. So we're going. We don't have the money to do it. We just trust in the Lord. But you know, some of you are not able to go. God wants to use you in a special way. Some of you have the resources. And some of you can say, Lord, I can't go, but I want to make sure the job gets done. And I'm going to ask you, next week I'm going to promote this ministry. I'm going to show you a little clip of it. And I'm trusting that some of you will respond in a generous way. It's an orphanage, little kids, off the streets of Jamaica. Kids that have nowhere to go. And now and then the authorities, they get these kids and they know there's a place nearby called the City of Refuge. Wonderful place. Used to be an old resort run down, and now the missionaries there trying to get things in decent order, and they're building buildings for these little kids. They have nowhere to go. Kids that don't know anything about God, and they come into a loving atmosphere, and they feed them and clothe them. They educate these kids. These kids, they are raising up a church there. These kids are going to go out. Many of them are called to the ministry, getting involved in things pertaining to the work of the Lord. Wonderful work. They're doing that right there. Snatching them. Out of an environment that eventually would lead them probably to drugs and a life of crime and maybe an early death. Bringing these kids, loving them into the kingdom of God. And they're going to be used as tools in the master's hand to reach their land for Christ. We have a chance to be a part of that. Some of you could bless that work. And you could give. You can't go, but you can give. And will help us. See, there are many ways God uses his church. There's many ways God uses our talents. And I believe when we go in the 9 or 10 days that we have, that we're going to do something that's been needed to be done for a long time. But God has blessed this church with men with certain skills. And we're able to accomplish great things. We're not a large group, but we're going to do a great work. I believe it. I believe it's God's timing. The church church in these last days, what do? We need to accomplish what God has called us to do. That's the key, folks, to be on the alert. And many of you know what God has called you to do, or many of you know what you ought to be doing. And my word to you today is then let's get busy and let's do it. Some of you say, well, I need to witness more. Well, then let's just do it. Some of you say, well, you know, I've been thinking about maybe teaching. I know they need a Sunday school teacher. I've been holding off, but I really feel maybe that's what the Lord... Well, just do it. I know they need help in the youth. I know they need help in Royal Rangers. They've been going for such a long time. We've only had one or two men show up to help. And yet we got young boys, and so many of them have grown up to be leaders in the church. It's a wonderful ministry. And I know there's a need there, and I've thought about why don't you just do it? Just do it. You know, I've had so many people say, well, Pastor, I got to pray about it. I believe in prayer, folks. But you know what? I think sometimes God expects us to use a little common sense. If you see a need, and you don't see a lot of response other places, and God is saying something to you, why don't you just get in there and do it? I have people that say, well, Pastor, I got to pray about it. I never heard back from them again. I don't know whether it was yes or no. I assumed it was no. You hear what I'm saying? There are little things that we use to kind of justify our inaction. Folks, hear me today. We don't have a lot of time. This world time is running out. Things are spiraling to a dramatic climax here. We got to get busy, folks. We can't wait another 10, 15, 20 years and then say, well, let's see what happens down the road. No, let's do it now. Well, you know, I've been thinking about talking to my neighbor. I know that they're going through a tough time, and I'm just looking for the right time. Look, get busy. Just do it now. Let God put that all together. Do it now. You have too many people waiting on the sidelines, waiting for some sign or whatever, and God has already revealed all He needs to reveal in His Word. Do it now. Get on board. Let's accomplish what God is calling us to do. Do it now. That's what God wants. Because there's going to come a day when you won't be able to do what you felt you ought to have done a long time ago. And the opportunity will pass. And there's no greater sorrow than that of feeling that maybe you missed God. The opportunity was there. Was within your grasp, and all you had to do was say yes. All you had to do was go. All you had to do was to act on it. And you let that moment of opportunity pass. You know what? Sometimes we think it'll come around again. Oftentimes, it never does. One thing I've learned over these years of ministry that I've had is that God works within time. And He has a timing for many things, most things that He accomplishes. And you better be on board with what He's doing. Because if you're not, you're going to miss it. And once you miss it, you'll never be able to recover that moment or that opportunity. Oh, He may still use you in other ways. But that special opportunity that He had will be gone forever. Bow in prayer right now. I'm going to ask the brethren to please come forward. In just a few moments, we're going to serve you the emblems of communion. It represents the presence of Jesus, symbolizing the body of our Lord, the blood of our Lord. It represents His presence. And I would ask you today in this setting, as we're about to go to communion, and remind us of His presence. Not just His presence on a cross a long time ago, but his presence that is here right now, this morning in this service. He's been speaking to your heart. You've heard his voice. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you just going to pass it off and say, yeah, it was just another service where I felt the conviction of the Lord, or I felt the presence of God. It was wonderful, but you know, I've got other things to be concerned with, and then you just go on your own way? Or will you stop and consider what God is calling you to do? And will you act on it? That's the question. It's not, do you know what God wants you to do? It's, will you do what God wants you to do? That's the question today. And it's up to you. I can't make that decision for you. I want God's blessing in your life. And I pray for you that God will bless you and that God will deliver you. But friend, hear me today. Ultimately, it comes down to a decision you make. It's between you and God. I can't get you into his kingdom. But you can say yes. And you can respond. So how about it this morning? As we're about to receive the emblems of his presence. His presence. What would you say to the Master? Is it sufficient that he has spoken to you this morning by his Spirit? Is that sufficient enough? Or do you need another sign? Do you need something else to confirm what you already feel in your heart? My friend, hear the voice of the Lord and what he is saying. Don't miss the opportunity he's giving you. Will you say yes? Will you put all other distractions aside? Will you say yes? For the sake of his kingdom. Will you say yes to the Lord? In just a moment, we're going to participate together. I'm going to ask that everyone hold both the bread and the juice until we participate together. And I'm going to ask that we just pause for a moment before the men distribute these. And let's give a few moments of silent prayer. Scripture says we ought to do that, examine ourselves. And we all make mistakes. And I don't want anybody not to participate today because they feel guilt from mistakes. Here's what you need to do. Take this moment and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Lord Jesus, cleanse me again with your precious blood. Lord, I want to feel your presence. You do that right now. Just examine yourself. I don't want you to feel any condemnation that the enemy brings your way. I rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name right now. And as you submit to the Lord, pray for the Holy Spirit, the peace of the Spirit of God, flood your soul. But let's just take a few moments of silent prayer right now, recommitting our lives to him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing the prayers of your people. And thank you for your holy presence that is here today in this place. receive glory and honor, all heaven and earth and every tribe and tongue will bow before the King. Suffering is a part of life. And it was a part of redemption. Sometimes, though we are serving the Lord, sometimes the righteous suffer. That's a difficult thing to reconcile in our minds sometimes. Lord, how could this be? And yet we know that because our Lord suffered, He was able to provide grace sufficient for us so that when we go through difficult times, when we struggle, and when we suffer, there is one who has gone before us, and He is able by His Holy Spirit to bring comfort that goes beyond what we would ever experience in the natural is the comfort of the Lord. And so that in their suffering, the saints down through the ages have looked to the cross and have received the strength they needed in that moment, in that hour. And they have remained true to the faith and to their calling because of God's provision through the cross. If God can do that for those saints who have suffered, what more could He do for us? Much more. Our suffering at times seems trivial, and yet God is sufficient in all our circumstances of life. Today, I think the Lord wants to remind us that as we are being faithful to His call, as we are on the alert, as we are striving to accomplish what He's given us to do, His divine sufficiency will be enough in every circumstance. He will see us through. My friend, He will see you through. Don't despair. God knows exactly where you are, and He will help you, and you're going to make it, because He's the faithful one. He will see you through. This little wafer we have reminds us of His physical presence when He walked this earth, when He hung on the cross. Let us partake of it in His precious name. Cup reminds us of His shed blood. He is our lifeline to heaven, to all the eternal things that have been prepared for the saints. There are realities that go beyond our imagination. They are there. We can't fully comprehend all that God has in store. We can only but perhaps catch a glimpse of what it might be like in heaven. And it's all made possible through the blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary. It's our lifeline. It's our link. And so we appreciate and we are so thankful to Christ. No one took His life. He willingly gave it. And as His lifeblood flowed from His body, it represents His compassion for a lost world. As it dropped to the ground, it represents to us that when His blood touches people, people of the earth, it will bring about change. Those who were His persecutors at that moment said, surely this was the Son of God. There comes a realization when the blood of Jesus touches the life of a person that He is truly God. And He is what He said He is. And He can be your Lord and Savior and your friend, whatever you need today. Let His blood touch your life again. Tim Rogers said, wash me in the blood, the cleansing blood. We speak of it as that fountain that flows from Calvary. In a symbolic way, we need the washing of the blood of Christ. This represents all the possibilities God has for us are made possible through the cross. Because of what He accomplished for us, let us now, in appreciation, partake of this symbol of His shed blood in Jesus' name. Thank our Heavenly Father for Jesus. And we thank Jesus for not leaving us alone. I will send you another. The Comforter will come. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful the Comforter has come? Aren't you thankful we can experience the presence of Christ today? Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is victory in the house of the Lord because of what Jesus did. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Victory in the house of the Lord today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave in just a moment or two. I want to take note of the fact that we have Dan and Trish Recupero. It used to be Trish Martineau, but she chose to change her name to Recupero a little while ago. And they've been on their honeymoon. Now they're back, and they're going to be leaving shortly. They're going back down to Florida. They bought a little home down there. They have some more schooling yet. But I know many of you, before you leave this morning, you'll just want to congratulate them if you haven't already and wish them God's best. They've blessed us many ways with their ministry of music, and we're praying for God's best in their lives. And if you're visiting with us today, we want to say that we thank you for coming to Trinity. If you don't have a church home, then we certainly would invite you to come and worship with us here at Trinity. And we look for God's blessing in all our lives. We want to do what the Lord wants us to do. Let's reach this community for Christ, all right? Let's accomplish the work, all right? Let's do that. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, we thank you. We love you. And now I send forth your people in the name of Jesus to do great things for your kingdom. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. God bless you and have a great Lord's Day.
On my own, now that I am seen.